Hi, welcome to Talk Word. I'm Marty Dunnicks, editor-in-chief of Weekly Humorous Magazine. And this is Talk Word, a place where we have hilariously funny people come in and talk about cringeworthy stories. And today, my guest is Keenan Steiner. Hello, Keenan.
Hi, Marty.
Keenan is a stand-up comic, writer, former and maybe current journalist.
Yeah, I'm still doing that.
You're still doing some journalismism?
Still doing that. Yep, got to pay the bills, and I like it.
Very good.
Yeah.
So welcome to Talk Word.
Lovely to be here.
All right.
Real pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Keenan just performed at the Weekly Humorous Presents Guaranteed Delivery live comedy showcase that we have down at 110 Wall Street once a month. And you closed. I thought you killed.
Yeah, thank you. It felt pretty good. I'm glad you thought. Maybe you thought I killed because you had been drinking a fair amount.
Yeah, maybe.
You were in a good mood.
It usually helps. No, I saw your set. I thought you did great.
Thank you.
And you're also very dynamic on stage. Like, you're a very physical comedian.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
you're doing stuff, and you're getting into poses. And maybe we'll put up some of the pictures that the Ukrainian kids took during the show. We ended up meeting up with this whole crew of crazy people after the show, and we went out for an after party. Then we went out for an after party. But this one quiet, tall Ukrainian kid was just taking these, like, quiet black and white photos the entire night. And then days later, tagged all of us on Instagram, and I got to see what this guy was seeing all night long, like over like 4 hour period. There's like this documentation of us.
That's, they're like really the best photos that anyone's like ever taken me of doing stand up by this random Ukrainian man.
And he was a great pool player.
He also said he was a young guy to set the scene. He loves America. He wants to move here.
Yeah,
and
because didn't his friend get he won the lottery with the green card.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think the guy he was with is now here. Like he won. He won the thing.
Anyway, the funny thing is, when after the show he came up to me and he basically implied to me that what I was doing, people were only laughing at because they were scared.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's like, just he's a foreigner. Like, he's a foreigner. So I was like, no, but you're not from this country. You're not going to get all of our humor.
Right.
He's like, oh, people either they either laugh because like they recognize that it's super true and it's super funny, or they laugh out of fear. Like people they're fearful and da, da, da. And he's like, why do you think they were laughing? I was like, because like they're jokes that work and people like them. He's like, I think they're laughing because they're scared. I was like, no, you're the man, but no, please don't.
I think they're laughing because they're just very scared you're going to jump out at them in the audience and just beat them to smithereens. No, I thought you did great. I thought the crowd reacted really well to you.
Thank you.
And it ended the show really strong. It was a strong show.
You get a lot of people in this basement bar at this Wall Street building. You know, you get a lot. It's great to perform for a lot of people. That's why I was so excited.
It was a good crowd. Sometimes that was actually one people. Of the that was actually one of the best crowds we've had. And I've been doing these shows since November, so it's like our fifth show. November, December, October, and it's a big space. So if you only get 20, it feels like nothing, which is a shame because if you go to a lot of these comedy shows, you're in the basement of a bar, and you get 20, you feel like it's packed. But you fill this place 20, and you're like, nothing, which sucks because like the space is beautiful, but if you don't fill it, you feel like you failed at like getting a crowd.
Yeah.
So I've just been like learning about event marketing because this is the first time I've ever done this before. And it's been interesting, like what works, what doesn't work. How do I get strangers to come to a show? Like it's not even my friends anymore. My friends gave up after two shows. They came to the first one. They were very supportive. And that's nice. And then some came back to the second one. And that's also nice. But by the third, they're like, no. We did it already. Thanks, though.
Yeah, that always happens. You know? You can only count on you got to build an audience beyond your friends because the friends will stop after
they
two
stop.
Shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's understandable.
Yeah, some of it is such a mystery as to why.
So also, and I'll mention this, you've got a show that you promote all the time. So you are a experienced comedy show producer at it's Comedy in the Corner.
Correct.
It's in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. It's
you said comedy in the corner.
Like, no, I didn't. Comedy on the corner.
Oh, okay. This is comedy in the corner, which is hilarious.
We can change that in post.
Me by myself in a corner, speaking to myself.
Now, that would be a great show called Keenan in the Corner.
Keenan in the Corner.
No one puts Keenan in the corner.
Yeah, that would be... My last name is Stein... Oh, crap. Let me replug this.
It's okay. Other side. You're fine.
Other side.
You're going to be okay.
That would be like
Keenan just ripped his headphones off because he's so physical. There's enough cord physical. There.
No, the thing is, there's.
Did you put your bag on top of it?
There is your bag because your office is full of knickknacks. Everywhere.
Oh my god, I'm one of those people that just has like, what's it called? Not knickknacks.
You're a hoarder, kind of. But
I am a hoarder, and you know what? I just cleaned this office today. What's another word for knickknack that I'm thinking of?
Tchotchkes?
Tchotchkes. Yes, that's the word I was thinking of. Tchotchkes. Yeah, I'm a guy that has tchotchkes. Like, my desk has just an array of different coffee mugs that I don't use. Look at this one. This is great. We sell this in the Weekly Humor store, right?
That's a mug.
And then...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Middle finger inside.
It's a middle finger on the inside of the mug.
You look like a guy that would collect bobbleheads.
Oh, where are my bobbleheads? I got a couple at home. I don't think I have any in here right now. Yeah, I have a lot of bobbleheads.
Like, I would make a bobblehead doll of you.
I have a bobblehead doll of me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was a gift.
Who did that?
Some company. I don't know. My mom bought it for me because I'm a guy that collects bobbleheads. She gave me a bobblehead.
I would
myself.
Just like everyone to know that I guess that you're a guy who collects bobbleheads.
You kind of pegged me.
Well, you have a goofy face.
Thank you.
And you have the face that would just is the perfect bobblehead.
I could bobble.
Guy.
I could totally bobble.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to your show, Comedy on the Corner, which is at Hungry Ghost.
It's at a coffee shop called Hungry Ghost in Fort Greene, Brooklyn.
Which is a good coffee shop. They have a couple of them all over the place. True. There's one in Park Slope, too.
True. They have a little franchise.
And I wish that your show was right by the one on Flatbush by me. Because that's a nice location, too.
It's a nice location. They don't have a beer and liquor license there, which is...
Really?
Yeah. I'm not, you know, and I don't... I don't completely know why that is.
Yeah.
But it could be that they just don't want to invest into it or whatever, you know.
I'm seeing that a lot, though. A lot of coffee shops are like, you know what? It's just beer and wine post 4 o'clock.
I think that's the way to go.
Because if you're already, basically, there's two places that sell highly marked up liquids, bars and coffee shops. Like, you make one that does both, you're golden, right? Because you get the morning people, then you get the night people.
I agree. And also, the truth is, like, rent is so expensive in New York, I don't think you have a choice anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be doing a lot. You got to be staying open. Rent's too expensive.
Yeah, these bars, you know, bars opening up for business at, you know, 4 o'clock. There's this empty restaurant this entire day. You know what I actually saw them do? They started this system where they will, kind of like a WeWork, FYI, Weekly Humorist offices and this podcast studio is in a beautiful downtown WeWork location at 110 Wall Street. Use coupon code Humorist to refer me, and then you get like 10% off or something like that. If I refer people, I think I get a kickback.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So if you're listening, put in referral Marty Dundix, and I'll get 10% off of something, and you'll get 10% off of something. It's a pyramid scheme. It's fine.
I really enjoy how shameless you are. You're using the podcast just to literally spread your, to build wealth, build a tiny bit of wealth for yourself.
Also, online right now, Weekly Humorous Comedy Shop, where you could buy hilarious mugs, just like this middle finger mug that Keenan thought was absolutely hilarious. Go to weeklyhumorousshop.com. Use coupon code WeWork for 20% off. That's absolutely true.
On everything that you buy at the store, you use the code WeWork?
Or you could use, actually, I think you can use the code Humorist30 to get 30% off.
Okay.
Well, but that's a real shop. It actually has fake poop in it. I'm shameless, and the shop is basically what I made on this online thing where you can get a bunch of different items these days. So you can open a shop and you can say, okay, these are the t-shirts that I'm going to sell, and I designed a bunch of t-shirts. But then also you can sell other people's products that are like, it's called drop shipping. And it's basically, I just made myself a Spencer's Gifts is the Weekly Humor Shop. It's just like the, you know, the Spencer's Gifts from the mall.
Yeah, the old school store. Yeah, I used to go into. Yeah, all and the little, like, speaking of tchotchkes.
Yeah, exactly. All that crap. I used to love that crap. I used to buy all that shit. So my store has all that stuff, so you can buy all that crap.
Great.
Everyone go there right now. We'll wait.
Okay, time out.
Just kidding. So Comedy on the Corner.
Can I go there now?
Yes, absolutely. Go on your phone. So Comedy on the Corner, how long has that been going on?
So actually we're coming up on our 2-year show, 2-year anniversary, coming up in March. So yeah, been 2 years, and it runs twice a month
is quite a show.
Twice a month, yeah,
because I was almost going to do twice a month here, and then it didn't pan out that way. But when it was going that way, I was a little bit hesitant. I'm like, can I really produce a twice upon the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a lot of comedians.
It's a lot of work. You know, I started off monthly, and then as it
started monthly.
I'm an incremental guy. Now.
I feel like I could do two a month now, but at the beginning, I was so scared.
Basically, you just have to build a following, and I wasn't going to do it twice a month with an empty. Like an empty coffee shop. I wanted to make people like it and people to come.
Yeah.
So nowadays, twice a month is kind of perfect because I always have, you know, lineups that I really am careful about. That's the most important thing. Lineups that like people are going to go away and be like, that was really fucking funny.
How do you find your comics?
So I have a co-host, Tiago Macklin, very funny comedian.
Yeah.
And we do it together. Basically, I would say it's a combination of people that I've seen at, you know, perform at a show that I just reach out to randomly on Facebook, or maybe I've said hi to and like, hey, you'll come on my show sometime and whatever that are like really great. And then we'll get requests as well. And some of those we say yes to. Some of them we don't. We just say like, oh, we'll put you on the list. Yeah.
Is that what I should be saying? I'll put you on the list. I've had a lot of people reach out on Facebook, and I don't know what to say sometimes.
Well, I don't mean
I just say, oh, I'm sorry, we're booked up. Maybe next time or something like that.
Yeah, like
we'll keep you in mind for the future. Like something really vague.
Yeah,
where the future could be like 2020.
Yeah, like no, I think you know, a lot of people that want to be on it that are comics, because I'm not like some sort of I'm not like. Like some people know me in New York, I would say, but some people don't. I'm not, and I'm not like a big deal. And so, but I will be after this podcast. But
absolutely.
But
well, Kevin didn't know you, which was so funny because Kevin, because I booked you.
Yeah.
And sometimes we mix it up, and I book people, and Kevin books people, and I, you know, I say like, oh, you know, do you know this guy? And he's like, I've never heard of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And but he trusts me because I'm not just gonna, But I thought you did fantastic, but now that's why it was so funny that he made you close.
Yeah, that is funny. Yeah. Well, he didn't give
a... you were so scared of that. You're like, am I closing? And I'm like, you're going to be great. And you were.
Yeah, it was fun.
You
Thank
went
you.
For it.
Yeah.
Have you closed a lot of shows?
Yeah, I can go anytime. I always like try to be wherever anyone wants to put me is fine. Like
Because I feel like you've got the chops.
Sometimes I'm nervous. I got the chops. Of course I got the chops. Yeah. I got it. I you got to be confident in this like game.
It's a lot. I mean, you know, so much of it is just confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's quality of jokes. But I've seen people that don't have great jokes, but they have tons of chutzpah. And the stage presence is everything.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Like, you can kill just from like having a great persona.
Definitely,
you know, like I've seen okay jokes. But a crowd that's like loving the guy, you know, they love him or they love her.
I think that's part of it.
You know, they can like make a face and the crowd's like roaring. You're like, there wasn't even a joke there. And
exactly.
They're just like killing.
Some people are funny and that's different than people that are. Some people are funny as human beings.
Yeah.
And that is apart from their joke writing.
Right.
And so if you're a funny person and a good joke writer, you got a lot going for you. And so like for me, you know, you kind of try to be somebody, there's a lot of things that are going to help you. One, like you got to look like you're having a good time. When you're not look like you're having a good time, the audience is not enthused and not into it. But also like you're trying to be somebody that people like want to be kind of, trying to be someone that people like want to hang out with and want you know,
or
and like
see themselves in that guy a little bit. They see see the relatability of the jokes that you tell, you know?
Yeah. And so, what was I going to say? What were you asking me? How to be a great comic?
Sure. Well, I mean, what do you look for in a comic? Like, well, when you like a comic, why is it that you like that comic? Like, what is it about their bit? Like, what is it about someone's jokes or sets that you look at it and say, oh, you know, I want myself to be more like that, or that's the kind of comedy I like to do?
Definitely. Yeah.
Is it more storytelling? Is it more shock? Is it more unexpected, you know, punchlines?
So, what do I look for? So just in myself, I mean, it's easier to talk about this. Like, do you want me to talk about who I want to be or who I like to book on the show?
Mm-hmm. two-part question.
Yeah, you're like, I want both.
I want it all.
I think in terms of the show, because that's a, such an easier question because it's not about myself. I'm usually, first of all, the show is going to be diverse for many reasons. One, we're in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, which is a mixed neighborhood. Secondly, you know, diversity leads to a variety of experience.
Is your crowd very diverse though?
It can be. It's a coffee shop, so it skews white. It's pretty, it's bougie. But when we, but we have, sometimes we have.
Because Fort Greene's definitely changed.
Fort Greene's changed.
I'm in Park Slope, and it's kind of changed at the same time.
But it's changed. But if you bring in, you know, black comics, you know, sometimes we get a good black crowd, or sometimes we don't have black comics and we get, you know, a good crowd that's more mixed. But basically, I find that, first of all, diversity, I think when someone is diverse, there's a lot of funny stuff that comes up out of their life. They've had things happen to them and can draw on different experiences that it's not just diversity for diversity's sake. It's like, I actually often think that when you have different background, you have something to say. And then secondly, so you're also going to have women, because I think people get tired of listening to men. So I try to book a couple women on each show.
Yep.
And then, I like people that, are just going to like love what they're doing. Like you can see that they love it. And, I like people with energy personally. So I think that show reflects that. Not everyone has to have energy. And if they don't, I like someone that's got like some point of view, someone who's super dry.
Yeah.
And maybe they're super, super dry, but just way different.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, that's different. And then just people are great joke writers too. That's great too. But certainly like you try to mix it up, different styles. When you're booking a whole show, you want a high energy person. You want like a dry person.
Yeah.
You want a couple ladies, you know, you, want someone who's like an amazing joke writer. Mix it up.
Yeah. I totally agree. I'm meeting so many great, new comedians from doing, the guaranteed delivery shows, though. You know, you saw Wendy Starling.
Yep.
At that show, she's great.
Yes.
You know, and she's unexpected, and she's just like high energy, and she's really creative, out of nowhere type jokes. She's awesome. And then Emma Willman.
Emma Willman. Yes.
Yeah. She's very, very so skilled. Funny. She did the show. Awesome. She was so funny.
Like, she's
so
killing it.
So polished. And you can see where comics are in their development, which is also fun to do these shows, because you're seeing new comics who are trying things out, and then you see people that have done all the late night shows and they have it down, and they could do this in a second. Like, they could go up and do their set, and they could do whatever, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, and they go through it like it looks completely spontaneous, but they know that, you know, every single word and, you know, utterance and pause is completely set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
They're well rehearsed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet they seem relaxed. Yeah, those are the people that they're just on another level.
Yeah,
and they're so comfortable.
Yeah,
going around and, you know, showing up in any show, it seems like they're just comfortable in their skin.
So for writing and stuff, what's your joke writing process? Where do you come up? It's all stories. It's like a lot of personal stories with you.
Oh, in terms of my jokes, definitely.
Well, when did you start doing the comedy?
Yeah, I started doing it. Stand up coming up on 4 years, started in 2014.
Okay, that's pretty new, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like kind of like you're not new, but you're not like a grizzled vet either.
Did you find your decision to start doing stand up like very freeing? Like people say doing stand up is like therapy for them.
You know, I don't know. It certainly was freeing. I don't know about therapy, because I go to a lot of therapy already. and I've been going to therapy most of my life.
Yeah.
Is
it working?
Yeah. It's been great. It's been great. I'm OCD.
Okay.
Which
so is my office,
and I have anxiety.
Is my office driving you crazy? Because you
I'm
didn't
not like
shit
OCD
in, here?
In the way that's like, no, this doesn't... I'm not clutter OCD. Like, I need to clean everything.
Okay.
But I am a little OCD.
That would have helped, though, because I need some help in this room.
but I am a little OCD in the sense of, like, I have little worries. Like, if this cord is not making me worried. I'm not worried at all. I'm very comfortable. But I would get worried that, like, this cord would get unplugged because something would tug at it.
Yeah.
And then I'd think about it too much.
Yeah.
And then the thinking, fine. It's like a OCD is like a cycle of like unwanted thoughts.
That's yeah.
what you know about. So then you worry actually, because I have a cocktail of anxiety mixed in.
Okay.
You worried that the OCD is going to get worse.
Oh.
So, but I have all that. Don't worry, listeners.
You okay? Everybody okay?
Yeah, I've been to therapy. It's great. Cognitive behavioral therapy. Let's get into it. So anyway, no, but stand up when I started it, I had done improv before that.
Like a UCB thing?
I did UCB, like all four classes at UCB.
It's expensive.
$1,600, yeah.
For the whole thing?
Four classes, yeah. Hmm. I mean, you know, it was fine. It was really good training for me. I was either really good in scenes or I was a disaster and I hated it. I didn't quite impress my teachers. I was not great.
You like one of the people that did like the character studies a lot? Like,
I didn't do the character study. I mean, well, character's just part of your training. I had a coach and they teach you, I've taken character classes.
Okay.
Yeah, I took a character class in DC.
Would you want to do like TV acting or commercials or stuff like that?
Yeah, I would like to like basically like make, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I think stand up is like a good platform to like, if I'm good at that and people like me, then it's like, you get good at that. And then I feel like it's so applicable to acting.
Yeah.
Because you're so comfortable doing improv, right. You're a funny person, you know how to be funny. So it's not like I'm dying to do like a Tostitos commercial. It's not like my dream, but like, I would love to be involved.
That'd be cool though.
Come up with something funny with them and do. Yeah, of course.
Because as a writer, as a professional, you do copywriting.
I do.
And you're a journalist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's true.
Are you allowed to talk about being a journalist? Yeah.
I could talk about anything you want. Okay. I can talk about anything you want.
So you went to Georgetown for journalism.
No, I went for international relations actually.
Oh.
Yeah. I was totally like a,
I was
going to be like a diplomat or
which
something.
Which international place did you want to relate to?
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite?
It sounded like vaguely sexual the way you said that.
I know. Did you have a favorite nation that you wanted to be international with?
I love Azerbaijan.
There you go.
I was into Latin America. I studied abroad in Argentina.
Really? What was her name? Because you said abroad.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, yes, yes. His name was Pablo.
I know, but it didn't work if I did it that way.
To our audience, that was a joke about me hooking up with men.
Yeah.
Because I'm a gay guy.
Yeah.
We did it.
It's in your act a lot.
Oh, I talk a lot about I talk a lot about being gay.
Maybe that's why it scared the Ukrainian man. I don't know.
Well, I think that could be, but I think he was saying that people are scared to not look like they're enjoying it.
Oh, well, great. If fear makes them laugh, I don't care if that's... as long as the crowd is smiling.
But still, that was like the worst. I was like, no, you don't speak English well. Like, you don't... just... Okay,
and he was wearing that silly hat.
Okay, I get a lot of feedback from audience members because I'm particularly open. I got other bad feedback at that show from a friend of yours. Saying that I shouldn't mention I'm a sneaky gay up top. She thought in my act I mentioned that I'm a sneaky gay.
Oh wait, Megan said this to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't group me in with her.
Okay, sorry. And she after the show she's like, you don't need to do that. Like you don't need to come on so strong. And like it's just not funny. It didn't work.
It worked. I was there.
And I was like, yeah, it works every time. Like, it pretty much always works, and that's why I do it. I've been doing it for years.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, you don't need to mention it.
But the crowd laughed really loud.
So I was like, listen.
Yeah.
If I don't say that I'm gay, like, and I go into... I have a lot of jokes about, you know, dating guys or dick size or...
There's things up top people need to know to get the rest of the jokes.
They need to know because I've had in the past people just look at me if I do the joke about how black guys have told me I have a cute dick or something. then
people out of context, maybe people don't laugh as
people
hard
are like,
that.
Is he kidding? Like, is that like making fun of gay people? Like, is that like they don't get it? So I need to like warm them up to it. So I was just,
I agree.
So it took me like the night to convince her that I was right.
And you were determined to convince her that you were right.
I tried. I was trying to be super like not get mad at her, and I'm proud of myself because I was like, okay, like I don't agree with you, but you keep talking. It's fine.
It's very nice of you. Very patient man.
I just feel like I don't have the I don't have too much bandwidth to be mean to people.
Yeah.
Because even though I want to be mean to them, because I'm not, I really
even
do.
Though I'm dying, I'm just dying to scream at them.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Not particularly her. She was just batshit, and you know, to deal with people like that these days, I'm just like, move, like I keep walking.
Yeah.
You just keep moving on because it's like you can't convince these people.
And people that try to tell you specific things that are wrong with your set are always so strange, where they're like dissecting your psyche, basically. Because these jokes, they're not just out of nowhere. Like, these jokes are honed from personal experiences that you lived. So to have some random person be like, yeah, that didn't work. It's like, well, I lived it, so I'm going to talk about it.
Well, the funny thing about her critique and why she's like, I don't know whether I don't know if it's like a little bit like slightly on the spectrum or something. I don't know. But her critique was not that she didn't like it. Her critique was, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Broadly, doesn't work. That's why you shouldn't do it.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you all of a sudden you're some kind of a Comedy Central scouting executive and you're telling me that my stuff isn't working? And for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, I've just been wasting my life away. It's like, oh, what do you do? Oh, you're like a management consultant for, you know, IT systems? Like, what?
I mean, she wishes she had that job.
You know?
That would be... No, but my writing, you wanted to know about my writing process. I would say I think of things. I have coffee in the morning and I'm washing dishes and all of a sudden I'll laugh to myself. And I'll be like, oh, maybe that's a funny idea. Let me get it down right now.
Yeah. So you have like a notebook?
Yeah. I have so many notebooks. I have one currently. I think it's a small, notebook that I got from a Japanese Muji store, like a notebook store. I like this company. It's good. It's important for comics to get the right notebook that they like. But it lasts me like 2 months.
Does it have a good cover?
No, it's just durable.
Okay.
Because some notebooks, like if they fall apart quickly, it's like they're falling apart by the time the notebook ends.
I have two notebooks. Where's the other notebook? No, I can't.
Marty, by the way, brought in cider, a pitcher of cider for us to drink during this podcast.
I had a notebook. Yeah, I have a pitcher. Well, it didn't fill up all the way. I actually killed the keg halfway through. It started sputtering, and now it's gone. But I had another...
Can we just repeat that? This is a co-working environment, and Marty killed the keg.
I killed the keg.
With a pitcher.
Well, no, it didn't fill up the pitcher. I only got this much before it started spitting out foam.
Because in our podcast, we needed each to have 4 drinks, and we needed everyone else in the office to have none.
None. They get no drinks. No drinks for you. But this is a fun little book that I've been carrying around. I don't use it enough. But it has that kind of like fun strap.
Yeah, it looks like a moleskin, and the strap is good because you get to save a page.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine. Oh, don't read it. I write about my dreams in there.
Do you really?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think this is like grocery list stuff. I don't even think it's what's in here. Oh, God, nothing. This is all sad notes to myself. Anyway, we can throw this away.
Okay.
So you've been doing the stand-up. You do the writing. Let's talk about the journalism stuff, because I find that really interesting and fascinating that you're... What kind of journalism do you focus on?
Mm-hmm. Well, Charlie. well, Charlie Rose. No, I...
am wearing a open robe right now.
All right. I read a lot these days about food and restaurants. I like...
oh, that's so cool.
It is fun. I contribute often to Grub Street, the New York Magazine blog for that.
Yeah, it's cool. They go everywhere.
Yeah, and basically...
Do you get to go places for free?
No,
I mean, like, to review. Are you, like, reviewing?
I'm not a reviewer. I write about, like, the food business, like, often.
Oh, okay.
Or, like, I write about, like, some... interesting new trend or something that catches my attention. Like,
all right.
I've written many sort of more like investigative type articles.
Did you write any articles about that Anthony Bourdain thing that was happening in the pier. It was a kind of a crazy, like,
Oh, like how, was this a sexual harassment story or not?
No, it was, he was opening up this, like, almost like a street food marketplace.
Oh, right, and it failed. Yeah, and it failed.
And he backed out of it because it was like, oh, this is too hard. There's all this, you know, bullshit happening. But it's going to become something. Oh, I think Google's moving into that space. Okay. But it was supposed to be this really cool open air, like marketplace.
Yeah, street market. Street market. Like based on Asian street food.
Yes.
It was going to be.
It sounded amazing. And then he just pulled out.
Yeah, it would have been good. I it's hard, you know, there's a lot of money that goes into something like that, and I guess and also permits or whatever, so I don't know anything about it, but I guess he didn't do it. He annoys me, so I don't care.
Yeah.
He's very, very pompous. I'm not a fan of his.
He seems pompous, but he also seems like he knows what he's talking about for his shows.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about, and he's yeah, he's brilliant. And the shows can be entertaining for sure. And I think most people like him. I'm just like, he comes across when he's like on some island somewhere as like the guy that's going to give you this super unbelievable exclusive experience, and no one's done this before, and this is crazy, and I'm such a rogue guy, I'm wild. He repeats this over and over because I'm gonna go for this shrimp because, you know, I don't give a fuck. And it's like, you're not,
you know,
a rogue
shrimp
guy,
yeah,
for like going for the shrimp.
These guys eat this every day. Or like, it's not even, I mean, you said shrimp, but usually it's like something really horrible with like, you know, a head still on it, and he just like shoves it in his mouth. And this is like what these guys eat every day.
Yeah, it's what they eat every
day. It's like their sustenance. Like, you know, the guy's eating like, you know, roasted crickets or whatever, and these guys are like, oh, this is, you know, this is all I eat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is like my bread. You know,
they're like offended. He's eating. Yeah. He's like, this is crazy. They're like, this is my life, you ass. You fucking asshole. This is all I've eaten for the last year.
So you write for Grub Street and places like that.
And one of the reasons I did that is I actually, after I was covering politics in DC actually years ago.
Really?
Yeah. But then I, in between, when I came back to New York, about 4 years ago, I started working at a nice restaurant, like a fancy restaurant, one of the Danny Meyer restaurants.
Okay.
So you get all into food and wine, learn about that. And then it was like a natural transition to like, you learn about the food world. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, I can actually write about this stuff. So I left that job because you don't want to be a waiter forever. And I mean, you could. I mean, it's not bad. It's just, it made me exhausted. And then it physically was exhausting.
I can't do all that remembering.
You get better at remembering, but sometimes I was bad at it, and I literally like dropped the ball, you know, like
you dropped a tray of food on somebody.
I once spilled hot coffee on a guy's lap, but that was a different, but I two times did not charge people correctly. So people ate huge meals and the restaurant got $0.
Oh, that's the best
because,
way
like,
to do it.
I closed out the check or something, and I thought I had swiped everything and filled in the tips and everything, and the apparently I had closed it out and entered no credit card information. And then the people are gone.
Free meal.
Nothing you could do.
Yeah, they're gone.
Nothing you could do. They're gone.
Yeah.
So that was like a real talking to. I was like, I might get fired for this one. Anyway,
it's not a bad thing to get fired from a job like that. You know.
No, it's not. I once got fired for Starbucks. I was like, thank God I don't have to clean the toilets anymore.
You got fired from Starbucks?
I got laid off.
Oh, just budget cuts?
Joking on Georgetown to Starbucks. That's really...
Was that your first job out of school?
No, I... I'm 32. And after school, I worked at a newspaper for a little while in Jersey.
Okay.
And then I...
Were you like a beat reporter?
I covered obituaries, to be honest with you.
All right, then.
Craziness. And then I also covered some news.
No breaking stories there at the obits.
Well, I covered some breaking news, but the obits, some people die.
I mean, breaking news there, it's like when they wake up. Like, that's breaking news. Like, people that have been called to being dead, and then they wake up in, like, the table. Have you heard stories like that before? People have been declared dead, and then they just wake up on the slab where they're about to get, like, autopsied.
Wow.
And then they go in to cut, and then the guy's like, and they're like, oops.
That's crazy.
Oh, he's actually not dead. We just almost embalmed him.
Holy crap.
Oh, yeah, that's happened, like, a ton of times.
But do they survive, like, a minute, or do they survive, like, another year?
I think it varies.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense.
I think it varies. Makes
sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I...
No, I mean, I talk about a heavy sleeper.
I was in between jobs. I had come back from a trip abroad. I took like a long trip in 2009 to Asia.
Nice. Wow. Cool.
Yeah. Cause I'm like a kid who you know, basically is like entitled. Doesn't like to work much.
Yeah. That's how I am too.
But I always wanted to, no, I mean, I'm kidding. I also wanted to travel, but I'm also not kidding. Cause I was lucky to have a little bit of money to do that. So I went abroad, had a good time, and I came back with no money and no job.
Hmm.
And a living with my mom in Pleasantville, New York, where I grew up near there.
It sounds pleasant.
It's pleasant. Yeah, yeah. It's pleasant. And so I was trying to reboot my career in life. And
isn't Pleasantville the name of a movie?
It's the name of a movie. Good movie.
Okay.
Good movie. But yeah, the town came first.
Okay.
And I was working at Starbucks.
In Pleasantville?
In Pleasantville, New York. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they laid me off because the district manager wanted to look better, because when you decrease man hours, you know, you look more efficient.
So they just did, they're like you.
And I was the newest one. And I also was pretty bad.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I wasn't like really quick at making lattes at that time.
They move fast. I can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they had healthcare.
Yeah. There was healthcare involved. $9.50 an hour or something plus healthcare. Yeah.
Which isn't a bad job.
I mean, doesn't do much for you. Make so little money.
Yeah.
I don't know what they get paid now.
Probably, but, I would say probably like 12.
Probably, yeah.
But I mean, that's not a huge increase from 9.
No, no. And you get health benefits, right. So it's right. It's not a bad job. And there's opportunities to move up in that company. I will say it does seem like that.
It seems like the cleaning of the bathrooms at the Starbucks would be the absolute worst part of that job.
Yeah.
Because those bathrooms are disgusting sometimes.
They're
especially
disgusting
in New York City, because everyone's so... the people are horrible and disgusting here, who end up like falling asleep in the Starbucks bathrooms and shit like that. So you go in after waiting forever to go in the Starbucks bathroom, and you like have to type in the code, because we have codes here. You can't just go to the bathroom. You have to like type in like a 5-digit code to go in the bathroom. And then just like stuff everywhere.
Yeah, like a paper on the floor.
Oh, just like piles of paper on the floor, and like the toilet's all gross, and you're like, come on, you can't even like flush.
It smells, sometimes it just smells like bleach. Like clearly they're coming in there every hour just to bomb the
whole
thing. That's
fine. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah. No, they've gotten gross. Even, you know, any public bathroom in New York is just going to get disgusting. I don't know how it.
So you went from Obits. How long were you on the Obits?
About 5 months, I think.
What was the most creative Obit you had to write?
I have no idea.
Did anyone die remember in like a really bizarre way that you got to write about? Or everyone was just dying because they're old? Like anyone died?
There was like a one time there was like a Vietnam activist.
Okay.
Like a peace activist who died, who was an important guy, and he lived in the area. So I got to like, you know, that article, that obituary is like cited in his Wikipedia or something.
Oh, that's nice. But he didn't
which
die.
Which is not a credential. I actually have real things that I'm credentialed for.
Okay.
Which is not that. It's not being in this guy's Wikipedia.
I thought maybe you were going to say he was interesting because he like fell into a meat grinder or something.
No.
There's
nothing. I mean, there's no obituary that I wrote was like that was that interesting. The only interesting story from that paper was it was in Jersey City, and I once covered this like dog park that was like menaced by a pit bull that ate another dog. Yeah.
That's pretty gruesome.
And I was like so into the story. I think my editor had to be like, you can't cover it anymore. Like, we have to take you off the beat.
You're getting too emotionally involved in this story.
Pretty much, because there was like a new thing that unfolded
every
day.
You're losing your objectivity.
Pretty much. I was like Stockholm Syndrome or whatever. And no, I was basically this dog like ate another dog, and
yikes,
the owner could not be found. The dog owner was in hiding.
Oh, okay.
So I did this like I was getting deep into it.
You
like,
were trying to find the owner.
I literally went to like their house, and I could hear the dog barking, and the owner claimed to not be inside.
Wow.
I was so into it. And then there was this rumor that the animal patrol came in and like was negligent. And so I like interviewed the animal patrol as to their course of action when I got to the scene.
and you had your little notebook, and you were like, mm-hmm,
there
mm-hmm.
was like a there was a community meeting led by a local one of the local councilmen, and it was gonna be like, oh shit, what's gonna go down? Like, are they gonna complain about the animal control? Like, we had to. It was like a, anyway. It was that was the most fun part of the whole thing.
Sounds like you've had a very eclectic career so far.
Yeah, my career has been really eclectic. Yeah.
But you're happy what you're doing now?
Yeah, I'm happy. And I skipped the middle part basically from, I think, 2010, 2013. I was actually covering politics.
The most professional part of my career so far.
We talked about the stuff on the fringe, but I covered like investigative. I was an investigative reporter. I covered money in politics and like money's like
lobbyists, stuff like
lobbying.
That. Yeah,
like we did like deep stories involving like whether they were like fueled by data or on lobbying, or me like doing like a lot of gumshoe reporting.
You were like Zoe Bonds
from
what's it called on the Netflix,
right? From Netflix. Yeah. Nah. Yeah.
Zoe, what am I thinking of?
Zoe, whatever her name is, but I don't know if it was Bonds, but she was Barnes, a sexy character. Barnes. Zoe Bonds. Yeah. Zoe
well, because when Kevin Spacey would say it, he had this accent.
Oh yeah.
And then he murdered her. So
yeah, that was, you gave it away to people who haven't seen.
Spoiler alert. The show is gone. No, maybe one more season, but no Kevin Spacey in it.
I was also an extra on that show when I started to get into acting.
Really?
I was an extra. They needed journalists. This is kind of where it connects. My whole career in entertainment was launched by House of Cards.
What episode are you in?
No, I'm like on the steps of the episode where he's being deposed by the Solicitor General woman.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm just like a reporter on the steps. In fact, in the first like 10 seconds of the episode, it's like right on my face.
Okay. I'll go back and watch that and freeze frame it. I got to screen cap it, and we'll put it on the site.
So I was famous. Just like in between things, and someone suggested to be an extra over there. So I did that in 2013. And anyway, I've just gotten more into performance and being expressive and using my
personality
over time. Oh, thank you.
Very physical. You did a lot of moving around.
Yeah, you know, like, you know? I try to. One comedian I really like is this guy Sean Patton.
He's
amazing.
He's great.
And the kind of physicality he brings into his comedy is really, and he's not the only one who does it, is like really inspiring. And so I try to bring people there with me. Yeah. I just feel like people have long shows and a lot to listen to, and I feel like I also am not going to necessarily write jokes.
Right.
That are all going to always knock everyone out of the park. Like the writing itself, I don't really expect someone to listen to my like boom-ch lines for 15 minutes. Like I want to stand out. So that's like part of how I'm going to stand out is like, I'm going to make sure that I'm super, that I show a lot of personality, that I'm like fun, and that I'm having fun.
Yeah. It looked like you were having fun.
Yeah. Sometimes I am having fun, and sometimes it looks like I'm having fun.
Whichever works. It's totally fine. So this is called Talk Word because you have to tell me a Talk Word type story, an awkward, cringy type story.
Totally.
I feel like you probably got some of those.
Yeah, I have a lot of those. Yeah. I definitely have to like pick among them.
Pick among the best one. We can wait.
It's no, fine. I got it. I was sticking the workplace, right? Because I've had a lot of like workplace run-ins where...
So is this going to be at... What era of your job history are we talking about?
This was when I was working at the publication in DC.
Okay.
Too bad I already revealed what it was earlier in this podcast. I was trying to have that be anonymous, so edit that out, please.
I will.
Just kidding. I don't care. I basically had a – it was like sort of the beginning of my time as a writer at this publication, and I was happy to have the job in 2011. And we were all in the writers, the reporting team was all in like a big rectangle of a room, probably eight of us.
Okay.
And my boss, she was my direct like boss, although, you know, I had another boss who was more, it was like really the boss. And she was like my editor. She was my editor, but she was my editor. She was very bad at her job, in my opinion. let's call her Linda. And so she would mess with my stories and like take days to edit them and make them worse. And it was very frustrating. And so one time I, and she's also the kind of person that might make you feel a little crazy because like she'll, you have an argument and then you think you're arguing about something. And then she says something at the end that's like, what was your that was your point in the beginning. And then she's like, yeah, so we agree. I'm like, well, this, we got nowhere. This, we got really nowhere.
We've just been yelling at each other and now you're saying that we agree.
Anyway, poor woman. But anyway, I was at my desk, and I was using AOL IM, Instant Messenger, to communicate with
the Instant Messenger.
And instead of communicating to my coworker, another reporter, we, you know, talk, you know, you like talk shit about the people you work with, and we're doing it on IM. I wrote, you know, Linda, this is what I wrote, like, Linda hasn't said an accurate thing all day. But I was sent to my boss, directly to my boss.
Was it sent to Linda?
It was sent to Linda.
And what was Linda's username? Do you remember?
Was
it like Lindy88?
Linda's a made-up name.
Oh, okay.
I'm not giving... Yeah,
but it was name. It wasn't her actual name.
It was pretty close. It was being really careless by me. I sent it to the wrong person. And the response was... Well, first of all, as soon as I realized I sent it to her...
Unsend!
I tried.
No unsend. You start pulling the cord out from the wall. Can I undo it? Maybe it didn't go through yet. Maybe the internet can be slow and I can yank this cord out and the message is still in this cord.
No, but it was receiving a message. Linda hasn't said an accurate thing, hasn't said anything worth a damn, basically, all day. Hasn't said an accurate thing all day. And so I have I'm behind a big Mac monitor.
Yeah.
And my first reaction was to I just sink down in my chair behind the Mac monitor. I just tried to hide behind them. I was like, I'm stuck. She sits across from me. I can't have her see my face. I'm just trying to hide behind the monitor and decide what the next move is. Cause there's no move here. I have no good cards to play.
Being like, someone's pranking you. Did you get that fake email I sent you?
So she like writes back like, what? Like, what is the meaning of this? And, you know, because her name's Linda.
Yeah,
and
Linda. Did everyone get that? Linda.
And I was like, oh, first of all, I didn't respond because I literally was like, what do I do?
You should have blocked her.
So like a minute.
Undeliverable.
Like undeliverable. 30 seconds or a minute goes by and I was just like, oh, sorry. Didn't mean to write that.
That's it. That's what you have to say for yourself.
That's what I'm saying. And she's like, but you did write it. And, you know, but you, I was actually reviewing the message today. I actually found it because I saved it because I'm like a digital hoarder. And she's like, oh, but you did write it. What is the meaning of it? I was like, no, it was, like it was meant to be a joke and, forget about it. I wrote like, ignore. Yeah.
I wrote ignore. Undo.
She's like, well, like, what was it in reference to and who were you talking to? Da, da, da. And I was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry again, but it was really not a thing. It was really. So I just keep like deflecting until finally she's like,
I meant the other Linda.
Until finally she's like, well, OK, what, you know, just I really would like to know what this is about, what this is referring to. I was like, oh, well, before I guess when I was exaggerating because before you said one thing that was not accurate and when we were talking about a story and you said what I was working on was not a story and it was a story and it was just frustrating. I was just letting off some steam. So she responds back and she basically says like, and I have like, I should have read the whole thing, but she basically says like, okay, well, this isn't the first time this has happened, Keenan. And the back chat has to stop. Back chat has to stop.
Interesting.
And by the way, I wasn't that scared that she would share it with anyone because I think she would be too embarrassed to reveal that she hadn't said anything accurate all day.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like that. In that sense, I was like, all right, she might be too ashamed. She might not be sharing with anyone. But she tells me like the back chat has to stop. Back chat has to stop.
So back chat means that she has caught you talking behind her back on other occasions.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. And so because I'm really got a lot of chutzpah. I respond back like, okay, I'm so sorry. It won't happen again. But can you please also, what are the other instances of back chat that you're talking about? Yeah.
Can we list these back chat instances so I know what I'm in trouble for? Because there's a lot, and I want to know which ones you're talking about.
Also, like, how do you put a clamp down on back chat? That's just an office.
I didn't even know back chat was a term, but I get what it is.
She's not born in this country, so she uses unique terms.
I like that term, though. Yeah. I like back chat.
So she never responded to my request for past back chat instances.
Can I have any instances of past back chat that have been documented?
But when I looked at this today, I can't believe after I insulted this woman, who's my boss, that I had the balls to ask her to detail the other instances of past back chat.
It's like, what other times have I called you a raging bitch?
I'm really
that you
sorry.
Know about
I'm really
a lot. Was it more than five? Because it's definitely more than five. Yikes.
So anyway, it was after that, I had like a walk around the block with my one coworker that I trust and told him I was kind of horrified. I can't believe I did that.
How long did you keep working there after that?
Like 2.5 years.
Okay. Oh,
it
a
worked,
while.
It worked out to be okay.
Yeah.
It worked out fine.
And now you and her are best friends.
We haven't spoken in 5 years. We haven't spoken. We never got along great in the office, but we coexisted okay.
Yeah.
You know, which thankfully
it went. Are you went a fun office guy? Like I cruise around this office with my morning coffee and I'm like, hey, good morning. Hey, how you doing there?
Yeah.
Happy Friday.
Totally.
That's how I am. Is that how you are?
I am. It depends on the office environment. Generally I try to like joke around with people. I have to. You're sitting at your desk from 9 to 5. I don't want to be like too hammy and just be like, well, like, how about that weather? Like, you know, like, up again with the weather? Oh,
you do end up talking about the weather, though, a lot with people. Yeah, like, we always talk about the weather here.
Yeah.
How about
another day?
Honestly, though,
another day, another dollar, Bill.
Yesterday it was 75, and today it's 30. So it's like the weather's actually fucking scary as shit right now.
It's totally a topic.
It's like, are we all going to die? It's not. It's like talking about the weather has become really scary, actually, in the office because everyone's like, "Is this the apocalypse? Should we get margaritas?"
I mean, like, you know, that's happened before, though. Those swings back and forth—that's just normal. I expect it at this point. I'm an old dog. What can I say? But yeah, I try to be friendly with people. Sometimes that's I'm too casual, and that'll get you in trouble.
Yeah. Do you work in an office environment now?
Well, I was recently fired again from. I was fired twice in my life. Once from Starbucks, and the other time a week ago.
Oh, a week ago.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, this is raw.
Yeah, it's raw.
Oh,
it's
I'm
raw.
Sorry.
I tried to make jokes, but no, it's good. I'm a freelancer, and so I do. Really, this isn't a good advertisement for my business.
No.
You know, yeah, it's really not. But I'm freelance.
What's
writer.
Your website? Keenan Wrights?
Steinerwrights.com.
Steinerwrights.com. I was there today.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. It's got all my portfolio of work on there. I do. Basically, I write websites, taglines.
Yeah.
I'll do social media. I'll do if a brand has an idea for how they want to. We want to be this, you know, we want to be the technology company that all the kids in Williamsburg are using.
Yeah.
You know, how do we fucking talk to them?
Right.
And you do it. And I'm the most articulate guy, as you can tell.
From absolutely.
The last little bit. So I will help them, you know, formulate actually the writing that will appear on the website and how to talk about themselves.
That's awesome. So it's a little bit, it's copywriting and it's also, I mean, that's kind of also branding.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're trying to capture a voice of what a company wants their brand to resonate with people.
Totally. And they often have an idea about their brand and where they're positioned and, you know, like your weekly humorist and, you know.
You know, my tagline's right there. We're the standard in American immaturity.
Standard in American immaturity.
I wrote that myself.
So you're not the standard in American maturity.
Not at all.
Which, you know, might be a little more the New Yorker.
Exactly. I want everyone. I want that bar to be set as low as possible right from the start, right? Mm-hmm. And then we could only get better from there.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
It
like
could
you
be,
want you want to be like the basement. Like people go there for like the
I don't want the basement, but I want. You know, the word immature doesn't have to mean bad.
Mm.
You know, immature can just be silly. It can be, you know, not stuffy. It can be just loose and fun. You know, immature can be that. It doesn't have to be like bad humor, potty humor. I mean, there is that, obviously, but we have a range. Like, a lot of the writers are New Yorker writers that write for the site. It's just stuff that maybe the New Yorker doesn't like. It doesn't fit. It's, right. that it's just maybe it's too adult or maybe it's too whatever. It just doesn't fit. And I'm like, I'd welcome that stuff. That stuff's the good stuff. That's the stuff that I think actually does well.
Yeah,
you know, totally. And some of the some of the cartoons that get rejected are so funny, but maybe the tone's off because the New Yorker people are just a little bit snooty. I take them. You know, I give them a home.
Yeah, let's critique the New Yorker shouts and murmurs section because they've rejected many of my pieces already. So this will make it better. If I criticize the New Yorker, that'll really get me in with them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
A lot of my writers write for the New Yorker. You should write for me.
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay, love you can that. Put up some stuff.
Yeah, I'll send you some pitches.
That'd be fun.
But yeah, I just want to clarify, I was sort of fired. It was a short-term job, and it was a bad culture fit, apparently. It was.
I like that you want to go back and discuss this now. You're like, okay, it sounds like I got fired, but I need to explain exactly what happened. But I'm not going to go specifically on what happened because it's too specific.
I can totally go specific on what happened.
Was it like a jobby job, like a desk job?
Yeah, it was a desk job at a bank, like a real, like a big bank.
Okay.
A fairly big bank.
And you were doing copywriting?
Yeah, they're rebranding, okay. And they want someone to write their website copy.
Yeah.
Really, like, help develop their, how they're going to present themselves. Mm-hmm. And it was going well. I was there for a couple weeks. I was basically placed to do a 3-month job there.
Okay.
Because you're writing a lot of this rebrand copy.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, if you want to know more about it, email me. Okay? Because we don't want to get into that.
And also, you might get $50 when you open a checking account.
But, yes, you might get... Yeah, you might get... although I don't have any clout anymore. So no. I don't think, but I will give you $50 off if you hire me to write your website.
Yeah.
And use the code WeWork.
WeWork. 20% off.
20% off. So anyway, I was hired and it was going pretty well, but... I had a couple of run-ins. One was I took a tour around.
Was Linda there?
No, not Linda was there. It was a senior HR woman. I walked around the back, just took a tour around the back because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And apparently I walked into the senior management area where the CEO works. I just walked by. I don't know. Just looking around. And then I got stopped by HR being like,
you can't be here.
You're not a bank employee. Do you need a tour? You don't know where you are. This is bad. And she wasn't nice. She was a bitch. And she was being a huge bitch. So I walked back to my desk and like, okay, that was fine. My boss said, oh, you're not supposed to be there. I know she acted weird. It's fine. But I got a weird vibe and it was like, so I wasn't going
to
walk.
That's kind of a strange situation to have in any kind of office.
Like, it's very weird.
You get like you're in an unauthorized area, but typically like in this office, for example, if you aren't authorized to get in there, you have a key card and you can't get in there.
Yeah. I was just trying to get the lay of the land.
So if you're just wandering around, I don't think that that's, that punishable.
No, and it wasn't. And it was fine. So that was just the kind of the first straw.
You're just like a child running around a new space.
Exactly. You want to explore. It's actually funny because my creative team like defended me. They were like, he's on the creative team. Like, these are creative people. They need to explore. They need to walk around.
We can't put them in a cage.
They're not regular bankers who can sit at their desk all day. These are people who need to be, get their mind going. Anyway, so then I had
We can't put Keenan in a corner.
Can't put... Anyway, the...
Callback. It's a callback, guys.
For free tickets to Comedy at the Corner, use the code WeWork. Anyway, so then the next day, I had a meeting to, like, launch my proposal for the rebrand. And in the meeting, someone I was working with had an idea I thought was ridiculous.
Okay.
It was an idea, basically, that said, we don't need to say... The person said, we don't need to say that there's... I don't know if I should get into it, but I can because it's generic. It's fine. I'm not identifying anybody. But basically, the person said, we don't need to say, I don't want to say what they said. Okay. The point is, I said, are you kidding me?
Right.
And I'm like a freelancer. Fine. I shouldn't not have said it was a little bit too strong. It wasn't like crazy, but I said, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is what came out of me at that moment. Okay. And then I had... Apparently, the whole meeting, which I thought was pretty fine overall, my boss thought the meeting was, like, awful.
Yeah.
Like, I guess because I was in a creative setting and I was having a back and forth with this person in a normal way when you're creative, I said, I like that. And I said, I don't like that. And da-da-da. I thought it was normal.
Yeah.
Apparently, and no one told me this, my boss was very off-put by my manner of, like, in this meeting. And but never really told me that.
Yeah.
The next day, I have another meeting with somebody where it was pretty good, I thought. It wasn't terrible. But I also expressed an opinion.
Yeah, that's not good.
You don't express opinions.
You can't have opinions at these places.
And so the following day, I had my boss pull me in for a meeting and said, "There's been two complaints about you."
Wow, that's fast.
And I must take swift action because of the two complaints. And she said, "Look, I think you had good intentions, but I just think that, you know, I'm a very non-confrontational person."
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I could have used a little bit of culture help on the front end.
Yeah.
Rather than knowing that now.
Right.
That like people here don't have a back and forth, that we're just supposed to. You know what kept happening? I would have these meetings and two times it would happen. And then the person would they would end, and they were kind of productive. I learned a lot from this, by the way. I could have been on my better like corporate behavior. I learned a lot. But after the meeting, the employee would ask our boss. She'd be like, "Jen, can I talk to you for 5 minutes?"
Without him.
Yes, this happened twice. There would be, and it happened three times where I would finish a group conversation, and then someone would ask for a side talk with my boss about me.
Oh, wow.
And it was the most passive aggressive situation I've ever been to on. So it was weird.
That's weird.
It was weird times.
I feel like we got two talkward stories in here.
We did.
At least.
I'm really today. Loquacious. I really am.
Well, this was awesome.
I'm glad you liked it.
I did. I thought it was fantastic. I think you're fantastic. If you're listening, please go to Comedy on the Corner two times a month in Fort Greene at Hungry Ghost. What's the, there's a Facebook group.
Yeah, I'd love you guys to join the Facebook group. Is you guys, yeah, all you guys out there in podcast world,
they're listening. They're listening.
It's Comedy at the Corner on Facebook, and you can join the group. If you want to join our email list, just email comedyatthecorner@gmail.com, and I will get you on our twice a month email list.
That sounds good. How big is that email list? Is it growing?
It's about 200 people or more.
That's good.
200, 300. Thank you.
Nice.
It's good solid.
Do you get a lot of repeat customers?
We do.
So it's like a thing that people like to go to.
Yeah, because if you're in the neighborhood, not a ton of comedy shows in Fort Greene.
No.
And if you don't have anything to do that night, 8 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I know the show's going on.
Yeah.
I've seen signs at the coffee shop. I went there this morning. Yeah, let me come by. I want to see old Keenan.
And it's like, it's kind of old school where it's almost like, you know, beatnik poetry. With, you know, if you go to see like comedy in like a coffee shop, it's not some kind of a fancy comedy club. It's not some, you know, it's not like this, the basement at Union Hall that actually has ticket sales and fancy stuff.
Yeah, we're whippersnappers.
Yeah. We're a little bit more raw.
Yeah, we're, and I'm raw.
You are raw.
It's a little more raw. I mean, we do turn it into kind of a show. We have a spotlight. It's dark in there. We class it up. Make it a little, but it's free and very intimate and kind of, it's not going to be like the crowd goes wild.
Have you had any like love connections there where people have met people?
Interesting. Now, people come with their husband or wife sometimes, or their boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, it's kind of like a couple-y area, that Fort Greene. It's kind of Park Slope-y where it's actually become kind of yuppie couple-y.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
People definitely do make connections though and make friends. I made friends with people on Tuesday and so did other people. So I think, I don't know if that ever led to any hanky-panky.
Yeah.
Well, but
Let's hope. Comedy is an aphrodisiac.
I've had my... Right? It is.
You know,
I got some last night after my performance. So.
Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about your performance. What's this place called? The Box? The Cage?
The Box would be a little more of a lesbian bar, probably.
It's true. So what was it?
It's
what
called
was
the Toolbox.
Oh, I'm...
Which could be lesbian as well.
I was pretty close.
Yeah, you were close.
I was in the Box House.
Yeah, you were pretty close. You were in the Box House. Yeah, I was.
So it was called the Toolbox.
It's called the Toolbox. It's the gay bar on the Upper East Side, and you perform like it's the first time they did the show. Shout out to Gina Bloom, another comedian. She did a great job running it, and it was a lot of gay comics and one or two non gays, which you know we accept the non gays.
Yeah,
and then we were performing. We were performing in a cage that they have there. Which is kind
so
of
cool. This is the kind of cage where I'm thinking like a go-go girl would be dancing and like a club. Is that right?
I was expecting like an actual enclosed cage.
That's where, what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I wish it was that because that would. But also, I'm glad it wasn't because it could have been terrifying. So no, it's open on one side. Thank God.
Oh, that's nice. But there's thank like God. Bars.
There's bars, so you could.
It's very it's metal-y?
Metal bars.
Wow.
Metal bars. So it's great being in a gay bar. Because
so you have your microphone and you're standing in a cage,
yeah,
and you're just doing your set.
Doing your set.
is the cage like swaying from a hook?
So I guess it's more technically it's a small stage, about 4x4.
Okay.
And on one side there are these silver bars. So maybe, you know, it was advertised to me as a cage. If I had to look at it, the first time I looked at it, I would just look like,
yeah,
there's bars on that stage.
That's fine. I was just, you know, it seemed dangerous if it was like you were hanging from a hook with a chain. And you know what I'm thinking? Like when they're like, you know, like that.
Well, it is a little dangerous because, you know, I'm a physical comic and I moved around a little bit up there and I got a little scared.
Yeah.
It did get a little shaky.
It's like a Bond villain trying to kill James Bond in some kind of like a incredibly drawn out murder situation.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure that's true.
Like the cage was slowly being lowered into some sort of raw sewage situation with like sharks. With
that's
laser
a bomb.
Beams.
That's a real bomb if that happens. You really bombed if you get lowered during your set.
It'd be like Showtime at the Apollo, but instead of the Sandman, you just get murdered at the end of the show. I think that's probably a Japanese game show. Honestly, that's probably a Japanese game show.
Probably.
Well, that's fun.
It was great.
That's you. That's three talk word stories you told in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised we didn't start with that. You know, what I think is interesting, Keenan, is I asked you for a talkwordly, cringeworthy story, and you told me a story about an AOL instant message to your boss, which was uncomfortable. And then by the time we ended, you were doing comedy at a gay club in a cage, and you didn't start with that. That was your, like, third story.
Third story.
Like,
oh, my God.
You know,
yeah.
Like, eh, this one's fine.
Yeah,
It ain't AOL instant message humor, but I was in a cage doing comedy last night.
Yeah, I was in a cage doing that, exactly. And it actually, to be honest with you, I got stories for days. I had to mime having sex with a guy for a video once, and I got hard, very awkward.
Yeah,
that's very weird. That was real awkward.
Yeah, I bet
because you're like over the pants, but it's like wow, now he knows what that feels like. That was weird. Anyway, I just want to tell you my whole life.
So that's there wasn't a love connection then?
No, it was just like literally like friction.
Oh.
But yeah, on the cage, it did get awkward because I literally was like so desperate last night. Can I have some of that cider?
Yes, I'm pouring out the cider.
I was so desperate last night that I was like literally kind of flirting on stage with a hot guy I wanted to hook up with later.
Isn't that the whole point of being Mr. Big Time Comic though?
Last
night
it was.
To be like, I want to get laid.
I didn't give a fuck last night. Last night it really was. So,
dude, you actually met somebody last night?
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
I really crushed it last night on that front.
Good job.
Cheers.
Cheers to getting some.
Yeah.
I didn't get any. I went to bed. Jesus, I went to bed at like 10 after I went to my book club. Wow, that's a fucking good night, right? Compared to I'm having a comedy in a cage and then getting laid.
Yeah, you went in the complete opposite direction.
I went to book club and then I went to sleep. It was similar in nights that you have.
But I'm impressed with you. You do so much, and like you're very social, and you know you're doing book club. You run a show. You run Weekly Humorous. You have me on the podcast. You know,
yeah.
You love
a busy
people.
Week.
You seem to love people.
I'm just very alone.
Yeah. Well, this is a good. You're filling it the right way, though.
I'm trying. I'm trying to fill it with
rather
people.
Than filling it with like drugs, like
exactly,
and being alone in
well,
Netflix.
Well, because I'm poor, so I really can't afford the drug habit right now. I mean, fingers crossed. But right now, it's just going to be hanging out with other people.
That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So, Comedy of the Corner. You did all your stuff. Where are you performing? Not on your show recently. Where are you going to be next?
Next.
Anything this weekend?
No, I'm so glad to be going to Mexico on Sunday. Yeah. So I'm going to get out of here.
That's
go
awesome.
Go to Puerto Vallarta for a little bit. Puerto Vallarta is
Puerto
very
Vallarta.
Gay.
That's
very
like gay. The place that they would talk about going. Oh, we're at port. And it's like the love boat. You know,
okay,
they're like,
yeah.
Hey, everybody, time to go to Puerto Vallarta. Coming out. Don't forget. And Captain Steuben says. And
it's a very like.
Rick.
It's a hot. Old, it's an old destination.
Yeah,
it was hot a long time ago. Like,
it was really big
like
in the 80s.
I bet that. Yeah, or like I can imagine like Jacqueline Kennedy going there a long time ago or something. But it's not really hot anymore, which is kind of why I like it. It's not Cancun,
right?
But it's beautiful, and it also happens to be pretty gay, which is great. For
That's
me.
Great.
It's a beautiful place.
And you're rolling solo.
I love that doing that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I get away from everybody, and I can just be peaceful. And I love meeting people.
Yeah.
Probably like you do too. I love
you're very
people.
Social.
Yeah, I'm an affable Al. You can call me Al. That's what my friends call me.
How long are you going for?
13 days.
Holy shit!
I get the hell out.
That's a vacation.
Out. Yeah, I haven't had one in a long time, like a proper alone.
And you're
vacation.
Like, you know what? I just got fucking canned. I'm going to Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, I'm going to use. I'm going to make lemon with the with getting fire. Make lemon with the getting fired. That makes absolutely doesn't that make sense?
No,
crowd?
You're making lemonade.
I know. I was going to say I'm going to make. I was trying to make a joke of being like, when you get fired,
when someone gets
you make
lemons,
lemonade.
When you get fired, you go to Puerto Vallarta. You squeeze getting fired into a Mexican vacation.
So much of my humor of like part of what I want is always like I want to do like Will Ferrell type thing. Yeah. Just say really dry things that make no sense. Was like that was my favorite thing so long ago.
Hey, no. That was him doing Harry Carey.
Oh, totally. Totally. So I'm a big fan of it. So I'll just try to be somebody like pass the cashews or something. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Something like that.
If the moon was made of cheese, would you eat it? I think that was a line like that. I can't remember. Well, this was so much fun. I'll have to have you back on the podcast, obviously, because you have nothing but stories.
Oh, I would love that, man. So we'll and have when you I back launch on my here. Podcast, I'll
We're
have
We're all going
to
have podcasts. Soon, the only way I'm ever going to see my friends is if they're guests on podcasts or I'm a guest on their podcast.
I know. We're all busy promoting ourselves. It's
and
a
no
sad
one's
world.
Listening. I know. Well, that's the annoying thing about everything. And I get very, not annoyed by it, but everyone's on the social media. I'm going on a tangent, but I try to like other people's things as much as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, I do that as
and
well.
And I don't do it because I want them to like my thing. I just want to do that because I want to do the minimum amount to be still friends with them. You know? But I want to at least show up for that.
That is... Okay. That's, first of all, hilarious and kind of sad because you're not... That's a really bad way to be a friend.
I know.
That is like that is the most superficial way to be like, I'm somehow still connecting to
but
them.
It's something. It's better than nothing.
It shows that you care.
It shows that I'm at least paying attention to somebody posting some goddamn photo about something that's
It shows
wonderful.
That you're lonely and desperate.
Yeah, fine.
Because it's like, I still want this person to like me.
I just want to show that I'm still alive, basically. It's like, hey, I'm still here. But what bothers me is people that only post things and never like anything that other people post.
I hate that.
I think that's really, I don't know what kind of a word there is for that.
Selfish.
You've been to the therapy. You know all the words. I guess it would be selfish.
Yeah, I mean, that bothers me. I would say you have rage and
I don't have rage.
I'm kidding.
I just see, like, I'll see friends, I'll like stuff, and I like everyone's stuff. And then I'll put up something that's promoting maybe, you know, the new company or a show or whatever. Yeah. Or I'll invite somebody. And it's like they don't even give me that because I know how little effort it is to like someone's stuff because I do it to them. It's like, come on, just at least pretend like you've paid attention to my existence in the past like couple of years. It's like,
yeah,
you know, just give me a little like.
Yeah, do you think that
not that I'm dependent on the likes, but it just bothers me when people can't even pretend to exist. But that's a whole other story.
What I find interesting, fascinating, is some people are on Facebook a lot and Instagram a lot, and they tell me they in person that they love what I've been doing, and they never like anything ever but they're on the platform.
So that's even worse. So you know that they're seeing it; they just are purposely not liking it.
They aren't likers, of anything.
I like everything.
I don't know why. So they're on the platform. They love watching. They're kind of creepers. These people are kind of creepers.
Yeah.
And they don't like getting involved. And for whatever reason, they have made a decision to not show people that they're there.
Oh.
But they use it.
They're like invisible people.
Yeah, and they use it. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Because maybe they're thinking like, oh, if this person thinks I like them, then they're going to expect me to like everything. I don't know what's going on in their head, but I just want to know.
Yeah.
I don't, because I just go on there and I try to be an equal opportunity. I try to be myself. Oh, I like that. Like it.
Yeah.
Or
and I write congratulations. Like I'll write in the comments.
Yeah.
Something great happens to someone. I celebrate it. Totally. Good for you. Congrats. Blah, blah, blah.
Totally. Unless they unless they're always celebrating something, then I'm like, no.
There
no,
are
no.
people that do that nonstop. That.
Like my comedy career has gone so far. I'm
and
so
they're
proud
always
of
on vacation. People, yeah. I have friends who were, it always seems like they're on some kind of a fabulous vacation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but these guys never seem to be at work.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're the kind of people that will take 4 days to go to Havana because they're rich. And it's like, wow, great. Good for you.
Or Puerto Vallarta for 13 days.
Yeah, 13 days. But I do it on the cheap. So.
Are you staying in like a hut on the beach?
No. It's well developed.
I'm just gonna keep on finding dudes.
I'll just go on Grindr.
I'm just gonna find a place to crash. You know me. You know how I roll.
Yeah, I'm pretty. I mean, not totally kidding on that point.
Kidding.
Kidding. Yeah. What's that that people do? Like joking, not joking, whatever. The little kids do that.
Adults that say it usually on Facebook. If they say like kidding, not kidding, it's usually something horribly racist.
Okay.
If it's like a social issue, it's like kidding, not kidding, but I hate black people. You're like, I don't think you're using that right. And I didn't realize my friends were so racist.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, have you had a lot of surprising people on the Facebook where maybe friends from high school or whatever, and they've become like super conservative, and now you're kind of like, oh, I got to block.
No. The thing is, I don't know why, for whatever reason. You know, I grew up pretty liberal town, I have a couple conservative friends. And remember, a guy I went to college with who's conservative. He doesn't post on Facebook much, so
that's good. Lucky.
I don't have that network of people writing infuriating things. There's a guy who does it actually that I used to be. He was a waiter with me, but he's just a dum-dum, and I don't take him seriously.
Well, it's annoying because I'm from Maryland. Like half of Maryland is like Trump country.
See, right, because you're from Maryland.
And
yeah.
So there's like all these Republicans, a lot of like fiscally conservative Republican types, but then also like hardcore Trump types too, like out in the sticks. So a lot of my high school ended up in the sticks, and I was just like, wow. So I had a reunion, and it was great to see a lot of these people, but I was definitely like, I just was mindful of, I'm not talking politics tonight at all. Like, I don't want to get into any kind of discussion.
You do not.
Skip it. Like, I don't care. I do all this humor stuff all the time anyway. I don't need to do a big I don't need to make a stand. I don't care. It's fine. Like, we're just having some drinks and some food and talking about how fat people got.
100%. Oh, what kind of dog do you have?
Yeah. You get a lot of that. Do you have a dog?
No, but I love dogs.
Me too.
Love dogs.
Just not responsible enough to get one.
At this point in my life, I am not. Yeah, I need to be living with someone that we can co-take care of the person.
Yes.
I mean, not the person. You know what I'm saying.
You buying a human? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, like, no, I'm not. For the record, I'm not. I know.
Why are you going to Puerto Vallarta?
I would like to, you know, help some Mexicans get over here. They deserve it. God darn it. Immigration's so difficult, but I'm neither responsible enough to have a dog nor be a coyote.
Yeah,
to bring people across the border. I'm not capable of either of those things.
But
I mean, you know, and both of those, you know, they're basically one and the same.
Absolutely.
So
it's the same amount of responsibility.
Of course.
Well, this was delightful. Thank you so much for stopping in.
Oh my God, amazing! You can. Can I do one more plug? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Just because I'm trying to boost my Instagram, it's Keenstar Trillionaire. On Instagram. That's what I am.
Is that really what it is?
That's real. I made it a long time ago. I'm a silly man. Keenstar Trillionaire. I keep go big or go home.
You do. Absolutely. And you are on Twitter at
Keenan Steiner. A little more regular. Not Keenan Needs Help.
There's a rogue Twitter account that Keenan started a long time ago that you should not follow. But if you type in Keenan Steiner, it pops up first.
Yeah.
So you might kind of like hide that account.
Well, it's not so old. It's just I tried to do like there's a lot of jokes on there that are excellent. I mean, I write the best Twitter jokes.
Do you?
I found that
I really enjoyed the 140 character limit because
was nice.
It made you very creative, you know? And then they doubled it. And now I'm like, ugh, this is too many characters. I want less characters.
Yeah, that was the art of it, to try to get it concise. You shouldn't go to 280.
It was art.
Maybe it's good for their money and whatever. Twitter needs to like have good, you know, their shareholders have to be happy. So that was maybe why they did it.
You have a website?
Sad. That company is failing. Sad.
Sad.
Trying to be Trump. Trying to do that Trump voice. I do not have a comedy website.
Okay. But your website for work is Steiner Writes.
And I don't, but I will be getting a comedy website.
Is that what it is? Steinerwrites.com?
Yeah, Steinerwrites.com. That's right.
So they can check out your copywriting. They should hire you. If you're a competing bank that wants a really good, available copywriter, He might go into your no zone in the office, but just let him wander a little bit. He just needs to explore.
Thank you.
So this was Talkword. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Marty Dunnicks, editor-in-chief of Weekly Humorous Magazine. Please check us out at weeklyhumorous.com. Subscribe to our newsletter and go to the store. Coupon code WEWORK for 20% off. Talkword is distributed by Humorist Media. You can visit them at humorousmedia.com. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Keenan.
Oh, my God. You're so welcome. You're a delight.
All right. You're a delight.